The intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, everyone. It is the 3rd of July, 2021 at 4.02 p.m. Eastern, at least according to the clock on my computer. What an interesting day it's been. It's a weird, wonderful world, isn't it? I've kind of retreated from my 2 to 3 or 4 or 6 months. I've been so involved in the what's going on with the with what they're calling a vaccination, which is not really a vaccination, because a vaccination involves an attenuated virus, and this RNA shot that they're giving us is really a depopulation tool. And there was an evil organization called the Illuminati, for lack of a better word. And they seem to run things. The people like George Soros are high up in this group, but they're not the very top. Probably the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and maybe people I don't even know are they're attacking our world right now. So I've been so dedicated to trying to warn people not to take this jab that I've in some ways been neglecting my study of the Meyer material. And it's very strange to be in the position I'm in, because I find the Meyer material absolutely fascinating. And to me, it feels like it's the closest thing to the truth we've got. And it's benefited me greatly studying this. Now, it's a huge contradiction to some of what our religions say. And I'm going to read a quote that Billy gave in 1998. And this was an interview Billy had in 1998. And this will be maybe offensive to some people. Others may find it fascinating, maybe later in life. But this is what Billy says here. He says, "No creator God exists in this sense. The Big Bang did not come about through the strength or might of one God, but did so simply and exclusively through the spiritual and material, physical, as well as chemical processes that were triggered and directed by a young universal consciousness, respectively creation. The term God has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the creation of the world or the universes and the stars and the galaxies and the like, for the expression of God has existed in the vastness of the universe for billions of years, from ancient times to the present, and it represents nothing more than the title of a person. Initially, the title was Ishwish, which means God when translated into our languages. But Ishwish, respectively God, is nothing more than another term for King of Wisdom. It is a purely human title assigned to humans who were particularly knowledgeable, wise, and who possessed great mastery in everything. This term's significance, however, was distorted and falsified by the humans on Earth, particularly by the early religions, and those experienced in profiting from using the word. The result was that God, as a King of Wisdom, was removed, and people turned him into a creator God who allegedly had created the Earth, the Sun, and outer space. Numerous individuals, such as Jehovah and many others, even claimed of themselves to be creator gods, with the consequence that they were also revered and worshipped. One thing led to another, and soon the original meaning of the word God was forgotten, and consequently the purported creator gods were able to victoriously march into the realm of the people's religions, sects, and faiths. Now, after studying this for many, many, a lot of time, I put a lot of time into this, it doesn't offend me the way it might offend many people, some of my listeners, some of my guests. For some reason, I have this ability to, how can I say this? Hold different points of view in my mind at the same time. I keep coming back to this particular perspective that Billy has. There seems to me, there is not a Heavenly Father in the sense that our religions say, up there in the universe, whatever. The reason I say this is because what I see in the universe, in reality, in life, is this intelligence, whatever term you want to put on it, if you want to say God, if you want to say the creation or the universal consciousness or whatever, to me it seems to be neutral. And what do I mean by that? For example, if me or anyone else climbs up on top of a 100-story building and jumps off, the laws of the universe are going to pull us down and we're going to splat on the sidewalk. Even a little kid that runs away from his parents and runs into the street may get hit with a car and die. And to me, it seems like the universe is very cause and effect, and the intelligence that's behind our universe is very neutral. It doesn't interfere, generally speaking, at all. You know, as much as people pray for miracles and this sort of thing, for example, 60 million people were killed in World War II, right? You know, Hitler murdered all his people, probably Stalin and Mao murdered many more than even Hitler. And yet, you know, this universal intelligence, this didn't interfere. It didn't act like a father anyway. You know, a father would stop any danger coming to his children, right? So anyway, I guess there are many different ways to look at this. I like to give the Meyer perspective on this, because it helps me very, very much. The human being has within them what the Meyer material calls the spirit form. And the spirit form is a fragment of this universal consciousness. The spirit form, it doesn't die. It doesn't, it's not subject to the things associated with the material realm. You know, it doesn't have fear. It's always neutral. It's very, very neutral. This spirit form, it resides in a place called the superior colliculus, which is in the middle of your brain. It comes in when the child, 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. So you've got this little egg that's been in there for a few days. It keeps growing and growing and growing. After 21 days, the spirit form comes out of the spirit realm, which there's an energy around our planet, and there are other planets out there, you know, unless, of course, you're in the point of view of the flat Earth. And very, very interesting. I listen to those guys. They bring up some very interesting points, but I'll roll with what the Meyer material says here. The Earth is a sphere, according to Meyer information, there's this energy band. They call it an energy band. I imagine that's very rough. There's a lot more information there. And there's life in the material realm. There's life in the spiritual realm. Your spirit form moves out of the spirit realm when that baby is at 21 days, and that spirit form comes into the superior colliculus, which is the middle of your brain. It brings in the rest of your consciousness. In fact, that spirit form has been in the spirit realm. If everything is going right, it's been in the spirit realm for quite a long time, you know, maybe 150 years. The ideal time is about a lifetime and a half that the spirit form will be in the spirit realm preparing for the next life. And what it's doing is going through your consciousness. Everything that you learned in this physical life, it's absorbing. And that which is really, really valuable, the evolutive values and things like that, will be pulled out of your consciousness, your material consciousness. And what is the material consciousness? So we have two kinds of consciousness according to the Meyer spiritual teachings. We have a material consciousness, which would be my personality, who I am in this lifetime, you know, my subconscious, my unconscious. That's all part of my spirit, I should say my material consciousness, which is different than my spirit. What is the material consciousness? It's who you are in this lifetime. So, in part of the material consciousness is something called the psyche. And the psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. It's kind of an administrator. Well, let me read something from a book called The Psyche. It's one of many of Edward Albert Meyer's many, many books. He has so many books, way more than what I've ever read or probably will read. Anyway, this is page 2 of The Psyche, The Spirit and Material Consciousness. Billy says, "The human being of Earth has adopted the unpleasant habit of using false word concepts for things and matters, which he or she also does not understand or partially understands." And this is really key, because I think our religions partially understand some of these things. But the good thing is to have this Meyer information where we can get all the details. Now, we can debate about whether those details are right or wrong, but it's the only place I know where you can get the details. Now, that ought to say something. Here we go. Continue. This is also true for the spirit and for the material consciousness, in which case the latter also represents the actual personality of the human being. Now, the universal consciousness, no personality. No personality. Whereas most religions kind of have a personality associated with God. Let's continue. In this false use of false terms, it also occurs that the human being speaks of spiritual nourishment as well as spiritual property, as well as spirit illness, spirit delusion, spirit derangement, spiritual disturbance, spiritual inadequacy, or spiritual lacking, and so forth and so forth. Truly, however, none of these terms apply to the spirit because it can neither be sick nor confused, nor disturbed, deranged, or faulty in any way. It also can never be inadequate. So, wow, think about that. Now, this is again, the perspective of the Billy Meyer information. So we talk about demon possession and evil spirits and exorcism and things like this. And really, according to Meyer information, what has really happened there is that you have a mental illness. That means the material consciousness is ill, not the spirit. So, and despite what 99.9999% of people on the earth think, spirits really are not evil. They're neutral. Why? Because they all come as a fragment of the universal consciousness, which is neutral. What's called neutral, positive, equalized, and balanced. So the spirit cannot be evil. Now what happens is people have insanity in their material consciousness and they function very evil, in a very evil way. So what does, again, it says here in the psyche, truthfully, none of these terms apply to the spirit because it can neither be sick nor confused. Now think about that. My goodness, I wish I would never have been confused, ever. Oh, but plenty of times in life, I'm sure you've been confused or disturbed. You know, we've all been disturbed before, but not the spirit, not your spirit form. That's really beautiful. Neither can one state that it receives a form of nourishment from the human being when the person is thinking, philosophizing, and learning. So your spirit form isn't getting nourished, even when you're learning or thinking or philosophizing. Now, I would not have guessed it to be that way, but I think the spirit, it learns, if learning is the right word, in the spirit realm, in between the lifetimes. I think that's when that happens, but someone correct me if I'm wrong. Also, neither can a spiritual property ever be talked about if a human being composes written words or notes, makes drawings or inventions, because the spirit itself neither brings forth spiritual property in this manner, nor can it be fed by the thinking and the learning and the philosophizing. Wow. Of the material consciousness, all this can solely and exclusively be attributed only to the material consciousness. So therefore, the material consciousness becomes spoken of, which can, through various other circumstances and occurs, etc., be able to become ill. So your material consciousness can become ill. You can act like a demon. You can, you know, do horrible things. You can do dastardly things. You can be a criminal. You can be confused, deranged. All that's the material consciousness. Now, the spirit form cannot be any of these things. it can't become deranged or confused or disturbed. The spirit itself is a minute part piece of the creation, the universal consciousness. So every universe has a universal consciousness. There are other universes. There's a universe called the Tao universe. And Billy's second contact, a woman named Asket, came from the Tao universe. And she sent a robotic craft to Switzerland when Billy was 16 years old. This robotic craft landed on top of a hill where Billy often thought and studied, and it pulled him into the ship. When the door opened, there was no one else in there, of course. And he shot off to the Middle East and landed, and eventually he saw the giant 300-foot disc of Asket, who was from this other universe, the Tao universe. And she came out. Now, the interesting thing is Billy actually felt that he knew her. And that's kind of off our topic a little bit, but the spiritual consciousness lives many, many lives. And the spirit form inside Billy is extremely ancient. It's probably the most ancient, from what I understand, the most ancient spirit form of a human being that exists physically now is in the Meyer body. Now, this is a very interesting concept because, you know, the spirit form is a separate thing from the personality and the material consciousness that it may be with during a given lifetime. So, you know, if you see, like, every once in a while you'll see a person like Edward Albert Meyer, who's very, like, very extremely advanced spiritually. He's just like, he has such wisdom, and yet he does things and says things which you kind of go, you kind of balk at, and you think, wow, that just doesn't seem consistent with the age of the spirit form. But really, these are two separate things. The spirit form and the material consciousness are two separate things. So to me, that's been something that I've learned, you know, within the past few years. I've become more and more aware of that. Anyway, let me continue. The spirit form itself is a minute part piece of the creation, which in no form can be disturbed or somehow negatively affected by the material realm. The spirit can also not be nourished from out of the material realm. So it has to go to that spirit realm to get the nourishment. That process, there is what does Billy call that? It's like a storage bank in the spirit realm where your material consciousness goes, and I believe it's your spirit form that's processing that material consciousness. So the spirit form doesn't receive nourishment, I do not believe, in the material realm. Thus, it can also not be of help in any providing any spiritual property to the material realm. The material consciousness realm, the material consciousness itself, can indeed become disturbed, contrary to the invulnerable and untouchable spirit, which represents a purely creational product in its form and power as well as in its swinging wave. Now, Billy talks about the swinging wave, and I'm certain that there's a whole lot more about that to be learned. There is a book called Kelk der Wahrheit, which is the Goblet of Truth. And there is a passage in there that says what the truth knows to say. And it goes on and says, rivers, stones, bushes, trees, everything that crawls and flies on the earth has a spirit form. And the spirit form lives many lives. And it talks about all of the creatures having these psychic swinging waves and all of them being aware of each other. And what always came to mind to me is, you know, when you're outside at night and you're close to a swamp or a forest and you hear all those crickets and toads, you know, and all the, you know, animals, and they seem to be aware of each other and they seem to be communicating. And that's, Billy talks about these psychic swinging waves. And I think that may be part of what he's referring to. I also have the image of birds in a big flock of birds as it changes directions dramatically all at once. And they kind of go from one direction to another, back and forth, back and forth. It's as if they're all connected in some way. And I wonder if it's that psychic swinging wave that does that. Because it does mentioned in the Goblet of Truth there that they're connected and that they're aware of each other, which is extremely interesting. So there is awareness. The animals do have more awareness, I think, than we realize. And there's, you know, I've seen some films that are phenomenal on YouTube and other places that play films where divers and stuff will have a certain kind of fish swim right over to them, and it has a hook in its mouth, and they literally take the hook out of its mouth. It's like the animals sometimes ask for help, or they're caught up in a fishing line, or, you know, dogs or cats will do that when they don't have a home or whatever, and they're struggling, and they'll come to people, and they're aware that sometimes humans can help. Which is nice to know, because a lot of times humans don't help. So let me continue here. We're talking about the difference between the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. And I think the swinging wave that we were talking about is perhaps part of the material consciousness. The Schwingung it's a noun in German, swinging wave, it's translated as. The electromagnetic swinging waves in the teaching of the spirit are periodically built up electric and magnetic fields, which are not bound to any matter, but nonetheless include energies and unfold forces which can be of immense might. And I'm reading that on page 4. And I think that there's a glossary on page 218. But I don't know that it really says much more than that. On the 15th of August in 2011, Billy said that for the German term Schwingung, neither vibration, quaking, tremoring, nor oscillation, swaying, should be used in English. Both are not right. He reckoned the swinging would probably be understood wrongly. The best choice is still waves, hence waves. He also said that the swinging itself also swings. So, very interesting stuff here. Yeah, it's very interesting when you get down into these words and trying to come up with exact meaning in these words. So believe it or not, I'm still talking about the material consciousness, the spiritual consciousness. And let me continue here. Okay. Material consciousness alone can be creative. Now that, wow, that's a huge statement. That means the spirit form can't be creative. That's so bizarre. I'm just going to have to try to contemplate that. As well as susceptible to illness and other difficulties. But also megalomania, we're talking about the material consciousness. Megalomania, haughtiness, and all other negative as well as positive things are founded, therefore, because through the personality, the material consciousness, all thoughts and feelings, all emotions, as well as all electromagnetic powers and swinging waves are created. So it is, these swinging waves are created through the material consciousness, which distinguish and direct the life form concerned. Thus, in this case, the human being in particular is spoken of. According to the explanations given, it is absolutely clear that no illness or terrible things exist which the spirit could be subject to. So no matter how horrible your life is at the moment, your spirit form is totally neutral and it's not disturbed at all. I know that may be a shocker. Namely, as a creational part piece, it is taboo to everything worldly and cannot be harmed or injured by any disturbances and influences. Harm and injury or any other damaging influence can only occur to material organs, etc., yet never to the spirit, because it is absolutely untouchable, uninfluenceable by any material, half-material concerns and factors. Solely and exclusively the material consciousness, the personality, is susceptible to material and self-material influences. Consequently, among many other things, only the following exist, which always and in every case refer to the material consciousness. I won't read all those, but there are certainly the material consciousness can become ill, but not the spirit form. Now, we have this thing called the psyche, and I guess this is what I'm going to talk about a little bit and get back to the main thing that got me interested today, which, by the way, I'll just throw that at you real quick here. What really started all this today, and it comes from Mach der Gedanken, The Might of the Thoughts, the book that I'm always in, page 268, it says, impulses for striving. And in fact, the human being's entire life would be quite useless if he did not possess his creationally conditioned innermost nature. So we're talking about the spiritual consciousness that is related to this innermost nature, from which emerge all necessary impulses for the striving for evolution. So what keeps us alive, keeps us moving, is this impulse, this striving for evolution. And this is one of the creational natural laws, striving. There are laws in the universe. This is one of them. Striving, it's the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life. Striving means to make great efforts to achieve or obtain something. And this is something I read today in the book, The Art zu Leben, or The Way to Live. It says, if the striving breaks down in the human being, then he becomes incapable of life, displeased with life, and suicidal. So if you ever get depressed, it's somehow this striving breaking down. You're interfering with your natural impulse for evolution. And this natural impulse for evolution is what keeps our life going. It keeps things in your life going well. Now, what happens is this breaks down sometimes in people, this impulse for striving. It's not that your spirit form is screwed up. It's not that your spiritual consciousness has failed. It's not that the universe is flawed. Somehow, the material consciousness has interfered, and it's not responding to the natural impulse that you have to strive. Now, what is striving? It's feeding your cats. It's cleaning the garage. It's going on a walk. It's learning a musical instrument. It's focusing, working on your day job. It's taking care of yourself. It might be gardening. All of these things are part of your striving. Now, if you become displeased with life and suicidal, then you can end up homeless. And these are cases probably of where the striving has broken down in people. And we've all had cases where it's a daily thing. You know, how open, how willing are you to follow the impulse to strive, to work at something, to work, prepare for your radio show, for to listen to other people's radio shows, to learn something. And that's the beauty of the alternative media now. There's so much information you can go out there and get. This is one of the laws of the universe, is striving. And I wish I had known this when I was in my teenage years. I would have saved a lot of time doing stuff that, you know, is not going to help me, not going to be beneficial in the long run. Now, in the short run, you might have some fun doing it, but ultimately, it's going to be a distraction which pulls you away from improving yourself. Now, the goal of all of our life, according to the Meyer material, is the evolution of your consciousness, which is really cool. I think it's a really good thing now, because otherwise we would be, who knows what we'd be involved in, you know. I don't want to get off any more than a tangent than that. Some other Krishna natural laws, love, particularly universal love, because the universe, the creation, has a wonderful kind of love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. And if it were not for love, nothing that exists would exist. Love is this universal love, particularly this creational love. Love and wisdom go together, and the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. So you can look for nature and its impulse. It has this energy that it releases, and you can go in nature, take a walk. That's what I'm going to say to everybody. Whatever you do, take a walk. Try to find some nature and get down there. I was listening to the Health Ranger, a guy, Mike Adams, who has a website, brighteon.com, and I'll post some things there. Occasionally, I'll post some Meyer information. They don't seem to like it that much up there. Now, BitChute, they seem to like Meyer sometimes. It's kind of weird. But he was talking about how much food is in nature. For example, like dandelions. You can eat dandelions. But we always try to kill them. But it's something that's nutritious that you can eat. And that's one of the things we do, is we spray all these toxins to kill weeds and things. Well, they also kill berries. And there's lots of natural berries. If you'll stop spraying toxins on the plants, a guy knocked on my door today, and I was not the most friendly person, but he wanted to sell me something that would kill moles. And I do have occasionally mole problems, but I was trying to tell him, I don't want to poison things. I don't want to kill things. That's just not what I'm about. He says, wait, oh, no, we're not poisoning them. They go in this little box and then they asphyxiate, he said, or something. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I don't want to kill things in creation. we shouldn't kill unless we have to, you know. What is it? People tend to kill when they don't have to. If you have a correct sense of life, if you have compassion and empathy and moral reasoning, then you won't want to kill things, you know. The Meyer material doesn't really necessarily support a vegan kind of food, although I'm trying to eat much more vegan. Probably 98% of the time I'm just plants at this point. Occasionally I'll get some meat in there, but it's really helped me a ton. So really don't kill unless you have to. And this is part of the universal love, is live and help live. If you can help, help out, you know. It'll help you. It'll help other people, too. So, and there's another creational natural law, since I'm kind of going free form today. If you're talking about these creational natural laws, we talked about striving, we talked about universal love. And then there's a law called the bipolar structure, a composition of everything that exists, the positive and the negative. So any situation that you're having where things are going great, you're thinking, this is great. Well, there's going to be a negative at some point. There's a negative associated with that. It might be just that you expel so much energy that you'll feel a sense of, you know, real tiredness and fatigue after it's all over. But it may be something at the time you're really, really enjoying. So, but there's always a positive and there's always a negative in this bipolar structure of everything. And you should never remove or try to remove the negative and the positive, because they depend on one another. The negative and the positive. So if you try to take the negative out of your life, you'll end up really causing more negative. It's a weird thing. You have to adhere to this neutral, positive, equalized attitude. This is called the law of harmony. The law of harmony determines that the thoughts must be not only progressive, but neutral, positive, equalized. And another really interesting creational natural law is system and order. And the law of the whole universe is how the universe maintains its order. The universal consciousness, this is the law of the universe. And how do we do that? How do human beings follow system and order? Learning how to work with an exact schedule is part of it. Am I there? No, not as far as I want. But I am making steps, and they're very, very helpful. I'll just put it that way. And it seems to open up doors in your life when you can follow these laws, and you get a lot of enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is also very, very helpful. So, anyway, another thing I want to talk about is, and we also will get back to God in that sort of point of view again, and how that differs from what the Meyer material said or says. So what is anxiety? Now, anxiety is different than fear. Fear is something we know about. It's like, here comes a lion, and I'm walking out in an open field in Africa, and this lion's 50 yards away. So you see the lion, you might have fear, which maybe is understandable. Now, that's different than anxiety. Now, you may have felt anxiety before you saw the lion, because you just had this feeling that something dangerous wasn't that far away. But you see anxiety, you don't know what you're afraid of. Something just isn't right. You just have this feeling, you know. So, and now think about this. Negative thoughts and positive thoughts can help your evolution, okay? So you can't throw out all the negative thoughts. But it's important to know the source of them. And if you have negative thoughts, if you have thoughts with anxiety, then it doesn't come from the spirit form. We have this creation energetic spirit form. Consequently, no anxiety impulses can reach the material consciousness or the inner nature from it. Anxiety does not exist in the creation energetic spirit form. This also applies to anxiety regarding other human beings. Sometimes we may have some anxiety regarding other human beings, like maybe a person that's in a position of authority over you, or maybe you just have this person you just don't want to deal with because it's just they're illogical and they're abusive or whatever, and you might have anxiety. The necessary factor, let me read this here. The necessary factor which helps one to lose one's anxiety regarding other human beings concerns one exercising a neutral, positive, equalized, realistic attitude in regard to the fellow human beings in order to see and recognize them as they exactly are. The factor of the unknown is thereby broken up and demystified, which results in the anxiety disappearing. So, you know, you can manage your anxiety. Like, how do you manage your anxiety? You know, if the unknown is replaced by a known, and I'll give you an example on this, you might find it a little weird, but I do like a couple of hours of work for my day job, like on Saturday and on Sunday, and it helps me manage my anxiety, because as you know, face work you may not have all the answers for, whatever. If you apply a little time, I found if I apply a little time during days off or on the weekends or whatever, a couple hours, then the anxiety goes away. I know what's there and what problems, you know, what difficulties I'm facing. Where anxiety goes away when we get knowns. So we want to add knowns rather than unknowns. So anyway, unfortunately, it's a sad fact that uncountable human beings have anxiety regarding others. Human beings with anxiety regarding their neighbor or fellow human beings are especially those who suffer from shyness, inhibitions, inferiority complexes, and so forth, and we all have them, you know, who are simply uneducated, unknowing, or in some form backward or disadvantaged from suffering or disadvantages naturally led to thoughts and feelings which are of quite a negative nature, and consequently in this form also influence the psyche and the consciousness, such that factors arise from that which are confusing and become inexplicable, which embody something unknown, which gives the cause for anxiety. So anxiety comes from unknowns. So if you can face whatever unknowns you have and make them knowns, then that can reduce your anxiety. Well, I'm feeling a little bit of an impulse here. We've got about 10 minutes till the hour. And rather than starting a gigantic chunk of new information, I thought I would throw a little bit of interesting factoid at you that I learned from the Meyer material. One of the things, if you go out to the Future of Mankind site, you can see, you know, tons of stuff about a lot of different things. And there are these contact reports, for example, contact report 256, which is one of hundreds and hundreds of contact reports. And I thought you might find this a little interesting, but there's a bacteria. You know, Billy has contacts with extraterrestrial beings, allegedly, right? and they tell him things which we haven't learned yet. And one of these things is about this tau post bacteria, which is also, I believe, not a carbon-based life form, which is as far as I know, our scientists don't know anything about it, non-carbon-based life forms. But let me read it. And this is Billy, and he's talking to Pata, which is one of his contacts, and he's talking about Quetzal, he says, which is another contact. He says, you and Quetzal, you have spoken of tau post bacteria, so-called heat bacteria, that, for example, live in fire, as also in lava and magma and in hot springs and hot mud and even suns. What an interesting factoid. Pata says, that is correct. It is about bacteria that only become really alive and active in high temperatures. The activation temperature of the tau post bacteria is different according to their species. So there are indeed those which begin to develop at an activity of 80 degrees Celsius of heat, which is about 170 Fahrenheit. Also those which are only in their living zone with several hundred or thousand, with tens of thousands, or even indeed only with a million degrees of heat. As a result, their nourishment consists of hot gases of the most diverse kind, some of which are radioactive. Billy says, probably also explains that they exist in suns and in hot nebula of the outer space. And that also the case with galactic central suns. Ta says this question is actually superfluous because tau post bacteria exist in their thousandfold diversity wherever heat exists. They are different in form from the common bacteria and are absolutely insensitive to antibiotics, as also not the case with the heat intolerant bacteria. Of the thousands of species of tau post bacteria, only a few are known to earthly scientists. So our scientists do know about these, or some of them, whereby they are, by the way, referred to as archaebacteria by them, of which at present are about 20 known, which corresponds to an extremely small number if one considers that these bacteria regarding their species range in the thousands and perform the most diverse functions. I know, Billy says, I know. Some of them form methane gas, whereby they absorb and convert carbon dioxide and hydrogen as nourishment. Others feed on salt substances, on sulfur gases. So I bet there's a lot of these tau post bacteria in our solar system, on other planets, maybe even in the sun. But let me continue. On radioactively charged gases of various kinds, as well as acid gases, etc., whereby they always convert these substances into other forms, whereby a large part of all life is guaranteed. In the conventional realm of bacteria, the tau post, archaebacteria also form in a form of continuous transformation of material, the transition and the change, whereby one thing is decomposed and transformed into another, new. But how far are earthly scientists with these cognitions? And Pata says, they are still quite at the beginning of their efforts and research and do not yet have a clue as to how far-reaching the functions are and how manifold the tau post bacteria are in their numbers. Billy, however, you say that at least they have found the beginning. And Pata says, that corresponds to what I said. And Billy says, well, you know that I once, okay, this is probably a different topic. They just flow right into something different. And they're talking about China. And that fits right into what we're dealing with right now in the present day we're dealing with this supposed virus, the supposed COVID-19 virus, or the SARS-CoV-2, as they call it, supposedly came from China. I think it started, you know, they say Wuhan, China. Probably started in, I believe, in South Carolina. I forget the name of the college right now, where I believe it started out, and I think it was moved over to Wuhan, China. This whole, I think we're at war with China right now, but it's not a overt war. It's underneath. The Chinese communists, again, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. We're going to get the music in just a few minutes. So let me read a little bit what it says here about the Chinese. Billy says, "Well, you know that I once used the torture and death penalty brochure to draw attention of the Chinese government and the Chinese embassies to the inhuman machinations of sentencing and contempt for human beings in China. Unfortunately, there has thereupon never been a reaction from these Chinese regions. Is it really not possible to get to these human beings?" Says the road is long and extremely onerous and arduous, and the inhumaneness in China will still continue for a very long time to come. This both in the politics as well as in the attitude of immense numbers of human beings. The horrors that are being carried out in China are even more horrifying than what is made known to the public media. Because in China, things happen that are beneath all human dignity and humaneness. Like, in my opinion, there's the music. We'll be right back. We got about 5 minutes.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom, at a time when freedom is needed the most.
Hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see my mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's the second hour, 5:02 p.m. on the 3rd of July, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We were talking about China before the break, and we'll pick up there again. Particularly, we're in contact report 256 on the Billy Meyer case. But I thought I would tell you that real quick, that if you go to BitChute and you type in M. Snyder, S-N-I-D-E-R, M-S-N-I-D-E-R, you can hit return and you'll find some very interesting films that I've been uploading. I've been creating a few films. And also go to Brighteon.com. And search for Ohio Exopolitics there, and you can also see some stuff that I've uploaded. Some of it, there's a little bit that's the Meyer material. A lot of it's kind of related to current events and this horrible war that we're involved with a global elite trying to kill us off with vaccines. Please don't take this vaccine. I know some people have. Don't take any of the boosters if you can. It's like a bomb with a very slow fuse. It may not have bothered you much right now, but your body is starting to produce something called the spike protein that will eventually damage your immune system, damage your lungs, damage your heart, also damage your brain. It will produce prions, which are folded proteins, which will lead to the Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome, which is a horrible mad cow disease. This may not happen for 2 or 3 or 4 years to the people that have taken the shots. The whole deception came from China, probably through the global elite. Probably a lot of the vaccines are manufactured in China. I don't know that for sure. I've heard things about that, but I'm going to continue. I'm going to pick up in Contact Report 256. We're talking about all the horrible stuff going on in China, and I'm going to try to get back into the spiritual teachings after this. We're on a bit of a side tangent here, and hopefully next week I'll have a guest. You know, it's always this pull between the Meyer information is so important. You know, it's just so interesting. It's hard to get guests that want to talk about it. And the other thing, if I get other guests, then we delve into things that maybe some of it is fascinating. Some of it may not be as important, though. Let's Let's continue here. This is Ptah talking to Billy. I don't know the particular date on this contact report, but I want to just continue here. It says, the road is long and extremely onerous and arduous, and the inhumaneness in China will still continue for a very long time to come. This both in politics as well as in the attitude of immense numbers of human beings. The horrors that are being carried out in China are even more horrifying than in what is made known in public media. Because in China, things happen that are beneath human dignity and humaneness. One thing in that regard only, think of the fact that human beings are sentenced to death and executed on a massive scale by official courts just for gaining access to the organs of those killed, which are then sold for costly money and are implanted, transplanted again into those that are fully solvent. Well, the Meyer information talks about transplants, which are dangerous, by the way, for multiple reasons, because we have something called the fine fluidal energy. It goes through our whole body, and it's related to our thinking. And you, if you get an organ from somebody, that person may have been just thinking horrible thoughts, you know, through a good portion of their life. And those energies from those thoughts are embedded within those organs. So if you get a kidney or a heart from somebody who was a criminal, it can literally influence you to become a criminal because the energies of those thoughts are still embedded. So when your thoughts embed the books around your desk, your computer, your light fixtures, these thoughts go into, if you have any instruments, any books, it goes out the windows into the trees in your yard. Your thoughts can exist for decades after your death, perhaps hundreds of years. This is how powerful the thoughts are. So you don't really want to be getting organs unless you absolutely have to, which usually people do when they get them. So in any case, we'll continue here. Thereby, it makes no difference whether the convicted persons are really guilty or innocent, or whether it concerns a potato or bicycle thief or a pimp or a murderer. One should, in the context, also think of Tibet and its population, as well as the Buddhist monks there, who have been harassed, tortured, and murdered for years. Just because this is demanded by the humaneness of the Chinese rulers and politics and practices by the dehumanized military minions. Or one should consider the inhumane birth control policy in China. This is not about the rational resolution and the law of the one-child marriage, because the state of China's population growth demands this drastic measure. There is really no objecting to it. However, what is done and committed in reprisals and unhuman machinations around this law surpasses everything imaginable in terms of unethics, abomination, and contempt for human beings and life. The worst of all is probably the terrible fact that the contempt for human rights and humaneness in China goes so far that newborns are simply killed by the medical practitioners with a syringe of poison, which is what the vaccines are. The vaccines are a syringe of poison. When we give people vaccines, they don't die immediately, usually. Some people do. I think there have been 5,000-6,000 deaths from this COVID shot, which is many, many. Most all vaccines, if they got that many deaths, they would be canceled, but not the case here. So in China, they get a syringe of poison, acid, iodine, or alcohol, injected into what's called the fontanelle when the newborns were conceived in a manner allowed by the state and the norm of having one child per marriage was exceeded. So China is a horrible, the government in China is horribly evil beyond our wildest imagination. And we are literally in a there have been kind of a bioweapon. Bioterrorism is the way Peter McCullough describes it, a very knowledgeable doctor. The alleged virus, and then followed by the horrible shot, the mRNA shot, which causes cardiac arrhythmias and damage to the brain, horrible side effects, anaphylactic shock, people get Bell's palsy, and it gets worse and worse as time goes on. Although the Chinese legislation does not directly order this infanticide, through an explicit law, it tolerates this customary practice, as well as treating unwanted children of all kinds in so-called orphanages, inhumanely brutal, tying them to beds or seating, maltreating them and treating them worse than the epitome of the scum, and leaving them hungry and thirsty, from which they usually die miserably, often also sick and littered with wounds and rashes. And Billy says this, there's probably no second country on earth that is as bad in these regards as China. Did you not say that the newborns would receive lethal injections into the fontanelle? That's the cranial opening of newborns, which only closes after an extended period of time by growing over. This is so evil, but this is what's going on in the world right now. You may hear some barking. We have dogs. They bark more than I would like them to. I have cats too, but they generally stay outside. They sleep in the garage. I feed them. It's definitely time to feed them. They're probably hanging around, causing the dogs to bark. Okay, another tangent. Billy says, it is simply necessary that all responsible human beings strive to address and reprimand China for its criminal against humanity, political and penal, as well as other humanity-despising machinations. And that time and time again. Anyway, this is what's in our government now. The influence of the Chinese, the inhumane Chinese. Now, again, the inhumane Chinese government, I should say. That's what's influencing our government now. That's where Biden gets his marching orders and Kamala Harris. So people say, oh, I hate Trump. I hate Trump. Well, you need to think about what you're saying, because the alternative is people that are influenced from the horrible Chinese. You know, anyway, there are also other important issues to be discussed that relate to this mission. So just a few, just to give you a few little factoids about this contact report. This occurred in 1996, so it's old. This is 20 plus years old, but very interesting indeed. If you go to futureofmankind.co.uk, you can find these contact reports. And they're extremely helpful. People have been working on these for years. A guy named James Moore set this site up, and it's extremely interesting. You can find a lot of very, very important things there. In Contact Report 257, I've looked forward a little bit, and I want to just tell you a few things that I found in here that you might find interesting. And this is Billy, and he talks about sounds of these craft, the extraterrestrial craft, as well as some forgeries. So let me read this. This is it, right? I'll explain everything to you then. As you know, my wife maliciously left me in 1994. Calliope, Billy met in the Middle East when he was in the Middle East, and she eventually left Billy, like he said, in 1994. It's a shame. I really feel bad for Billy about that, because I think he had real strong feelings for her. And she supported the mission in some ways. She was involved in the recording of some of the sounds of the UFOs. I've seen a film where they were on top of the hill where Billy would a lot of times go when they would fly over. And she had recorded, I guess, she had recorded some of these sounds. And then she was playing them in this film. And they were extremely, they are disturbing. They're not real good to listen to. They're very, it's a ringing kind of sound, but different. So anyway, as you know, my wife maliciously left me in 1994. And since then has also been working maliciously against me and my mission, especially together with Basil. I don't know who that is. Wannabe UFO. I don't know. He's, I don't know what this is saying here. It's this other person is working with maliciously with his ex-wife, who also calls himself a journalist, as well as with the former FIGU members. And then he doesn't give their names, only their initials, who all live in Munich or its closer or further surroundings. My wife, as well as HR, were present at several of your demonstrations, saw your ships, Mrs. Patov's ships, saw your ships, and heard their sirens in the sky, which they denied today. Yeah, they make a really loud sound, which I think they have a way of blocking that sound. But people will come from miles away because it's so loud. Anyway, today they actually deny all their experiences in this regard, whereby HR and his like-minded cronies, who all pretend to be my friends for years, together use my Andromeda energy ship photos for forgeries in order to prove that my photos are also forgeries. Now, since my ex-wife has left and I am still in legal proceedings with her because of the divorce, Eva, I guess, is his new wife or whatever. Eva and I have come together in a life partnership from which our little daughter, Selena Mercedes, has emerged. She was born in 1997. So, any case... yeah, that's the drama in Switzerland, I guess, part of the drama. The Meyer material is many faceted. There are things that Billy is saying now, particularly regarding the virus and things, that seem strange to me. They don't, I just say they seem strange. I don't take it all. If something doesn't seem right to me, I'll set it aside and then come back to it later and look at it again. But the spiritual teaching is so important. I totally have found it to be completely real. And the contact reports have all kinds of fascinating information in them. So if it were not for the Meyer material, I probably wouldn't have a radio show anymore. Because I've really lost interest in a lot of the UFO stuff that's going on now. I think what you're seeing with the Navy is part of the deep state, and they're starting to set things up for Operation Blue Beam and the hoaxed alien invasion and all that. There's so many lies that come out of our military, out of our mainstream media, et cetera, et cetera. This is something from Flagstaff, Arizona that I thought was very, very interesting that I'll go ahead and read to you, and then we'll jump back on some of the spiritual teachings. But anyway, Billy says, I know on the one hand, this attempt where you sent a letter to the American government through me and via EL from Flagstaff in Arizona was a response to snobbish demands that you could not accept. This is why the connection could not be established. And on the other hand, there are the underhand American efforts to cover up everything concerning UFOs and aliens and secretly use them for military armament as well as for the exercise of military and political power. In addition to all these facts about aliens and their aircraft, it is also true that the majority of the major political military Americans, as well as a certain part of the population, are snobbish, profit-seeking, self-opinionated, and lying, while many other extremely negative aspects are added, such as the inhumane demand and practice of the death penalty and the completely false meaning of peace and freedom. Yes, the dogs are barking again. I do apologize for that. If I had a guest, I could mute myself right now. One of the bad things about going solo like this. Now, they're going to talk, and this is amazing how I've just stumbled across a couple contact reports that are so related to what's going on now. One of the things that you can actually get from this quote-unquote vaccine, COVID-19, is mad cow disease, because it forms prions in your brain, which then affect your consciousness and eventually destroy your ability to think. And this is because of this mad cow disease. Let me read what the Meyer material says here about the mad cow disease. That's what our group members thought. Christian Freyer is, by the way, the man who manages the whole thing. But now, something else. You told me years ago that BSE, or mad cow disease, could be transmitted to all mammals. This means that all mammals as well as humans, doesn't it? Tao says, yes, that was the meaning of my words. Billy says, good, now the extended questions. Can the species barrier be broken at any time in this relationship? Yes, if an infection takes place in some way. Billy says, what about non-mammals like fish, birds, chicken, birds, as well as lizards? This is one of the reasons why I'm not eating as much animal protein, because one of my guests, Lorraine Day, said that she was told that all of the cows, all the herds in the United States have mad cow disease. So, Bill Taha says, no, not in one of the known forms. Nevertheless, all life forms can be affected by a brain disease that has certain similarities to the actual prion disease and can also be described in a broader sense as originating from it. The symptoms that emerge are generally very similar to those of prion disease. However, we have only had this insight since 1995, and it is estimated that years will pass before scientists will recognize this fact. As far as I know, the prion disease changes from life form genus to life form genus. He told that to me in our last conversation. So, this is extremely disturbing. They don't have much more to say about it, but some disturbing things. I'll scan this quickly, just to see if a few more other interesting things. Maybe we'll move on here. These contact reports are fascinating, absolutely fascinating, and we'll talk about them more in the future, I'm sure. But I want to get back into some of the spiritual teaching, and maybe I will... I wanted to go back to creation, because that's kind of where we started. What is creation? What is the universal consciousness? And what is that all about? And I think it's very important to at least cover this at some level. Bear with me here. I have a very big website. It's on exopoliticsohio.us, and I store these notes out there, and there are tons of them. And they talk about many different things. We talked about the creational natural laws. This is where the rubber meets the road, in the sense that you can start to apply this stuff to your life. And it can really be a benefit very much, like the law of system and order, which the structure that you have in your life having a schedule, learning to work with an exact schedule. There is a page devoted to system and order. And a lady named Elizabeth Gruber gave a lecture on it. She must be one of the FIGU people. She did this in 1993. And let me read just a little of this. I feel like I'm reading way too much. Gosh, we're running out of time too. We've got about a half an hour left. In system and order, a fundamental cosmic law is expressed. We can recognize this law by observing nature. It demonstrates a perfect plan arranged in harmony in the law of system and order. The universal law is evident in the atoms, the smallest known building blocks of life, as well as it is evident in the macrocosmos, the big picture. Humans, as a part of creation, are integrated into a conscious evolution of the self. So the evolution of your consciousness is the whole purpose of your life. Therefore, it is of the utmost significance to recognize and to apply system and order as one of the most important fundamental processes. So as you apply consistency in your life, you try to do things at the same time, this will have a multiplying effect. As you apply this system, this order to your life, everything goes better. It's like a ball rolling down a hill. You have momentum. You experience enthusiasm. You have fun. System and order. It's kind of interesting. There's a balance there, you know. You can go too far with it, maybe. I'm not sure. But if it feels like your schedule, I think, if your schedule feels like it's just beating you over the head and you're not enjoying it, then I would say back off of it some, right? Anyway, this is from Billy's spiritual teaching. It's called the Geissus Layer. And it says, solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe will be maintained. In this law of system and order, the absolute universal love is embedded, whereby its own effort, each form of life must acquire. If the human being wants to be healthy, happy, and successful material life, then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect according to the very same law of system and order. So you want to have this structure. I would say be flexible, you know, but you want to have this structure like you do things at certain times. So what is demanded of us within the material sphere of life that will enable us to shape our life in accordance with the law of system and order? For this law to become effective in our daily life, many factors have to be considered. Among them, I deem the following. Reliability, conscientiousness, punctuality, exactness, discipline, correctness, a sense of duty, orderliness. There are people that do this just by their nature. They've found that, you know, they don't know anything about the law, but they've done this their whole life and they've had great success. That's how people, you know, a lot of times people don't know the creational natural law. But they've had great success just because they've lived a life according to these laws and not even known it. What seems self-evident through obvious and logical appears in reality to be an enormous task which has to be mastered. At first, there are the constantly arising influences in our surroundings which lead to diversions, or create other problems and difficulties. These require extra effort to adhere to the planned activities. Secondly, in learning and discipline, trying to be consistent, the powerful adversaries in us let us down in our efforts again and again. Indeed, our conscience sometimes admonishes us as an unpleasant yet helpful reminder to pay more attention on our path of acquiring new habits. So, Well, I think what that's saying is it's sometimes difficult, and sometimes you're going to have setbacks. You're trying to acquire new habits, you know. And one of the things, you know, we talked about striving, and that people, where striving breaks down in their life, people can become suicidal. And one of the things to see in your life is a sense of aimlessness and purposelessness. That's a red flag that you need to reorganize, get neutral positive again. Stop cycling negative thinking. Boy, that can be a challenge. Don't rotate negative thoughts. Frequently, it is aimlessness and purposelessness, indolence, disorder, unpunctuality, and many other unpleasant habits that we have to remove if we want happiness, contentment, and success to be established in our daily life. Yet, when we seriously expose ourselves to the law of system and order, a natural inner resistance is stirring. And that's what I was kind of saying. And so also grows the aversion to half measures, aimlessness, purposelessness, and more of the same in that measure as we endeavor to bring order in our everyday life, whereby we come to the understanding that only by applying system and order, we are capable to meet the demands of material life. Many positive habits we acquire by working with this law, as for instance, conscientiousness, reliability, whereby we win the trust of the people around us. So anyway, this is one of the creational natural laws. There are other creational natural laws, of course, like love and the law of harmony, which means to be neutral positive in your thinking, the law of striving, the law of system and order, the law of reincarnation, which to me is a very great sense of happiness and knowing that my spirit form will reincarnate, that life goes on. Even if I get hit by a bus, my life is going to go on. My spirit form is going to go into the spirit realm, and that whole process of creating another material consciousness will start after the spirit form absorbs all of the important information that I got in this life, all the evolutive values and things like that that I managed to pull together. So one of the things I thought I would talk a little bit more about, since we're running out of time here, we've only got a half an hour, and I think it's real important. For some reason, I think Billy's life is extremely important. I think hundreds of years from now, people are going to say, boy, I really wish I would have been alive when this guy was on the earth. And, well, let's just say that's kind of the way I look at it. And I like to go back to Billy's early lifetime. Now, he grew up in World War II. So he was about, 4 or 5 years old, right around 1941 in February. I think he was 4. That's when he lived at Niter Flocks, which was a short distance from Bulak. Bulak is even farther north than he is now. And he was surrounded by the Aisha, Moser, and Bruder Mountains and wide forests. So there's great beauty there. And I encourage you to move to somewhere where there is great beauty in nature. It's very psychologically helpful to you. So here's 4 years old. He hasn't had a contact yet, but he has a very, very interesting experience. He's in bed and he's asleep, but somehow he sees his own body sleeping. And he wakes up for some reason, and he goes outside a lower window in his bedroom, and he looks up at a starry sky, and he hears his own voice say, "Since ancient times, I lived among the stars." And And this is part of the spirit form and the material consciousness. See, there's impulses that go back and forth between the two. And this is what Billy wrote about his thoughts, his trains of thought. At this time, it says, thus from a very early age, I learned to maintain my own trains of thought in a controlled manner, to draw my own conclusions, and to make my own decisions. See, he's independent in his thinking. That's what's being attacked right now, is independence, thinking independence, to make your own conscious decisions, to form your own trains of thought. You know, this is why people, they mindlessly get this shot now, and it ends up harming them for the rest of their life or killing them. So it's important. Let me continue. Through this, I also learned to separate the wheat from the chaff and to look for the truth where it's basically to be found, namely in one's own inner and innermost. So we have to look. If you want to find out what the truth is, look deep in yourself. Now, some people have literally lost the ability to do this. But I speak to people to do this. Learn to look inside, in one's own inner and innermost, as well as in one's own intellect and in one's own reason, in one's own thoughts and contemplations and feelings. So I believe the train of thought or the track of the thought refers to the interconnection in a sequence of ideas expressed during a connected discourse or thought. When someone loses the relationship between a consecutive sentence or phrases, and that's when they're said to lose their train of thought. So it's one of the things we have to do is develop our trains of thought. And this is talked about in Contact Report 173, line 63. It says, a true and honest group member can very well cultivate and maintain the most diverse personal interests and desires, etc. But first and foremost, he should and must place his interest in the fulfillment of the mission in the foreground and to maintain the train of thoughts. So we really have to work on our thoughts. Our thoughts are the most important aspects. The thoughts lead to your feelings. The feelings grow out of the thoughts. And the feelings are healthy things. You shouldn't suppress your feelings. Billy talks about the importance of the feelings. Let the feelings evolve. The thoughts grow slowly out of the feelings. The impulses and the emotions rage suddenly. The feelings take time to grow. And that's important, the feelings are very, very important. So anyway, I was talking about Billy at 3 a.m. in one morning on a mild night in May of 1941. He went out this lower bedroom window and he sat down and he looked up at a beautiful starry night. And he heard this voice which said, my life is made out of the love of creation. And then he heard himself say, since ancient times, I lived among the stars. So, and this was really interesting. Billy at this time, he knew what his mission was. And he was getting impulses. You know, I was talking earlier about the creational impulses for striving. Well, Billy was recognized that these impulses came from the universal storage banks. And he was getting these wonderful memories that were probably not super clear. I don't know. But they were memories from different lives and different planets on different worlds. So, and here it is. And this is in Billy's writing called How It All Began. It's a beautiful... Go out to the Future Mankind site. You can read this. It's wonderful. I've come back to it many, many times over the years. And I'll read a little something from it. Then words suddenly formed on my lips again, which said, since ancient times you've lived among the stars. Suddenly I knew who I was and how I am. and what my mission on this earth is. And suddenly impulses came from somewhere, which I later recognized as impulses from the storage banks, and many good memories penetrated me and showed me the way I had to go in my life. Thus, I also suddenly knew that space and time what space and time signify concerning the evolution of human beings and all things, and what the actual meaning of life is, in which the human being must create true love, peace, freedom, knowledge, harmony, and wisdom. And the cognition was awakened that no life or other beings at all could exist in the universe if the true being, the creation, did not direct everything. And we talked about how creation is not a god in the sense that our religions say is a father. It has no personality. It is neutral, positive. It has good and evil in it. I don't know if evil would be the right word, but it's neutral. Let me continue. Thereby, as I recognized at that time as a little boy, life becomes the power of creation, the highest might, which has created and maintains the universe and everything within it. So then he became at 3 years old, he was became very aware of the universe, and he couldn't tell anybody about this profound stuff. I mean, he tried later to explain it to people, and no one really knew except maybe Pastor Rudolf Zimmerman. Pastor Rudolf Zimmerman, would tell him. Billy, after this experience, would have his first telepathic contact with Svoth. Svoth was a man from the Pleiaren star system who came to the Earth for the purpose of mentoring Billy. And the reason they chose Billy is because, well, that was the purpose of his life with this very, very ancient spirit form. They knew the purpose of his life was on this earth was to capture the spiritual teachings, the teachings of the spirit, in written form during this lifetime. So that centuries from now, people will come to this material and start to understand it has this tremendous practical value for it. And let me read a little bit of what is written here that is, I think, so profound. It says, this is everything of which I became aware of this night. I think he's, 4 years old. As a little boy who was just 4 years old, everything which exists in the whole universe is a manifestation of the might and the infinite and true love of the mighty universal consciousness, which is simply called creation. Remember the universal love we were talking about that radiates from creation. And together with a creation, everything that was created by it is a creation. Everything existing in the whole universe, everything which crawls and flies. And we talked about the swinging waves, which connect all these things with creation. And how these creatures are aware of each other. However, true love, as well as the true love of creation itself, of which I became aware, is a form of the incomprehensibly radiating light of the Zohar. The Zohar is somewhat similar to the Big Bang, the concept is, which permeates everything and allows all life to exist, to pulsate. I think our universe has 7 rotating belts. And the 4th belt within our universe is the material belt, and that's where all the stars and all the galaxies are. And there are also 7 different space-time configurations within this belt. So in our dimension, we see certain stars and planets. In one of the other 6 dimensions, there are certain stars and planets. And some of these overlap. Like there's a Sirius system in our space-time configuration. There's the Sirius system in one of the other space-time configurations. And a Lyra Vega and so on and so on. So that's the kind of the nature of the universe. our universe is a very, very young universe, and it has a sister universe called the Tao universe. They're both 46 trillion years old, which is much, much more ancient than our scientists realize. Our scientists can only measure the age of fine material, fine matter, it's called. Coarse matter. Our scientists only know about coarse matter. But there's another kind of matter called fine matter. So what happens is coarse material, after about 13, 14, 15 billion years, something like that, kind of fades away into what we could call fine matter. And then the fine matter exists for trillions and trillions and trillions of years onward. That's what my memory is telling me. Again, I always throw out to people, if there's some little detail you think I've gotten wrong, send us a message. Eventually, this hopefully will be up on creation, Contemplate Creation, which I think became a centralized location for a lot of this information, which is a YouTube channel, Contemplate Creation. So if you're listening to this on Blog Talk right now, then you can go out to Contemplate Creation, and you can see a beautiful movie that's put together by one of the guys that works with me that probably wants to remain nameless, but you've heard his name before. So anyway, let me continue here. Therefore, true love is light, which in turn perceives light and endlessly radiates farther and never ends and always keeps accumulating. And this love is also existent and recognizable in all matter, as well as the human being in whom it is present as a result of the creational spirit, which he had just let grow in him internally and externally, whereby true love again reflects true love and creates harmony. This true love is the reality. This true love is the reality. That's a profound state. And not, however, all the illusions and unreal dreams which the human being produces, which he can never realize, as they exactly like smoke, only obscure his view and do not allow him to recognize what true love really is and what he himself is in reality with the universal drive mechanism of creation. The exterior, the body of the human being, is namely impermanent and transient. However, the true love of the creational nature, which is anchored in his true inner being, in the spirit, is pure light of being and is imperishable. So your spirit form will never die. So you don't ever have to worry about that. And according to my information, there's no hell. You're not going to go to a hell. You're just going to keep evolving. And there are seven evolutionary steps to the human being. We start out in primitive life, and then we go to rational life, and then intelligent life, and then fourth is real life, fifth is creational life, that's my abbreviation for it. Sixth is the stage of being half physical, half material. And then the seventh stage is we're totally spirit form. And there are seven sub-stages we go up in the spirit form realm. And we spend billions and billions and billions of years in that realm. And then eventually we merge back with this universal consciousness after these seven different stages. And we do incredible things within some of these stages, like in real life, which I think is stage four, we develop ships. Some of these ships, like Semyasi's ship, have a consciousness, a biological consciousness, which is aware, which Semyasi, who was Billy's third contact, Semyasi could mentally, telepathically communicate to the ship, who would communicate back to Semyasi. And I believe the biological intelligences, which was self-aware, would also communicate with Billy when Billy would write the contact reports notes with his one hand going at 70 words a minute or some incredible speed. And that's how we got these contact reports. Or I don't know, maybe Billy just faked it all. I don't think so. I don't. He certainly has a tremendous amount of wisdom if he did fake it. I don't know how he faked it because he's got 1,400 photographs, 30 films, I think. I don't know if they're all still intact. Some of them have been stolen. 20 people tried to kill him for some reason. Usually they don't try to kill fakers. People just tend to ignore fakers. But I don't see Billy in that light. I don't think he's being manipulated by people in three-letter agencies. Although I think he's probably been harassed by them many times. I know when Colonel Wendell Stevens would go out to Switzerland, that's when he would leave, Colonel Wendell Stevens would be kind of debriefed by the CIA or one of these groups. But they didn't interrupt. They didn't interfere, as far as I know. But people shot at Billy and many other different things, trying to kill him, which is, you know, anything in this world that's good, they're going to try to kill. I mean, that's just the way these monsters are in these agencies. I mean, we know how evil the government is. I mean, nothing could be more obvious than that. You know, no matter if you're on the left or the right, the government has just become so evil. Parts of the government, I should say. And we're about to lose all of our freedoms. So I say resist it as much as possible. Don't, whatever you do, don't take the vaccine. Because even the Meyer information, thank goodness, has come out and said, hey, this vaccination is dangerous. It's been hurried. Oh boy, has it been hurried. I believe it's intentionally bad. They're trying to depopulate the world. And I know you've probably seen the Georgia Guidestones that say keep population at 500 million. And that's probably a true principle. Population should stay at about 500 million, but we don't get there through deadly vaccines. We have to go that way through education. You can't murder people. It's not right to murder people. I want to read a little bit more from how it all began here. Such beautiful writing, and we've only got about 8 minutes left. So I kind of, in some ways, apologize that you had to listen to me for 2 hours straight and no one else. But that's the way it kind of works out at times. Already at the age of 4, this great recognition instantly changed my life, because after I was familiarized with this insight and understanding by means of the impulses from the storage banks, and I also learned who I really was, what I had to do in my life, and what my life task was. I looked at human beings, animals, and nature, as well as all existing things, in a completely new way, and I suddenly felt a great astonishment within myself about that, which I now discover. I suddenly saw myself in everything, in every fellow human being, in every plant, in every flower, in every tree, in every shrub, in every animal, in snow, in water, in the earth, in the lightning, in the thunder, in the clouds, in the wind, and sunshine. Because everything was and is connected in true creational love and forms a unity which can never be separated. Even life and death are woven into it and are inseparably intertwined with each other. And exactly as a result of this connection, which was instantly clear to me, everything is mixed and connected in infinite various ways through which innumerable manifestations of life and existences were created, exist, and will continue to be created. Within a few moments, I understood everything. I was excited with joy and peace and harmony spread within me, but also the deepest deference and modesty before the creation almightiness and infinite true love. Then days and years later, I tried to explain to my parents and neighbors everything that had come about within me during that night, because I had a very great need to report and to explain what cognitions I had gained. I could hardly wait to communicate this to my fellow human beings, but the opportunity to do this was not granted to me. There were simply no words for me to explain myself. And there were no human beings who understood what I, as a little boy, tried to explain to them. So I tried in vain to pass on my experiences and cognitions, but nobody grasped what I really meant. Parents, relatives, neighbors, teachers, and other fellow human beings only saw how I changed more and more. However, they did not perceive that my eyes and my voice emitted something which was foreign to them. They only noticed that I became more and more modest, and that I did not condemn anything or anyone, and that I always gave what I could give. I became a human being who was no longer the same as the others, one who was still young in years and yet already old in cognitions. I could understand fellow human beings very well, and even to old people. I could give good advice, for which they were very grateful. But nobody was in a position to understand me, except for Pastor Rudolf Zimmerman. Some thought I was a loner. Others compared me to a sage. But nobody understood what actually went on inside of me. What kind of thoughts and feelings I had, and what my real desire was. To be able to intelligently translate my cognitions and knowledge to other human beings. So we're out of time, folks. Thanks for listening. Hope you joined the show. See you later. Bye-bye.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
In Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic.